Changes in day-to-day life are becoming more and more frequent. It's the business news headlines for Wednesday, the first day of April. Thanks, as always, for being with us. Hobby Lobby defies store closures. We've got a toilet paper report. The two sides of a rent strike. Another day, another Amazon walkout. We'll check the Wall Street numbers. We've got a jobs report for you. And in our interview, you'll meet Tim Mueller, the export manager for Granite Parts. It's a German company that's expanding into the ag sector here in the United States. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro, TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, and if you want to reach out to us on Twitter, you can do that. We are at IOB_NewsHour. So many things are changing, and all so very quickly. For example, today we learned that Costco has taken some steps to attempt to stem the panic shopping that's been going on for weeks. As of Friday, April 3rd, members will be allowed to take only one guest with them when they shop at any Costco store around the U.S. Previously, members could have two guests with them and any kids that they might have. Costco explained on its website that this temporary change is for the safety of its members and workers and to further assist with their social distancing efforts. In other places, grocery stores have cut back on hours and in some areas allowing only older people to shop during the early morning hours. Meanwhile, it's almost business as usual at some Hobby Lobby stores, as the arts and crafts retailer is quietly reopening stores around the country, defying states' stay-at-home policies. On Monday, the company resumed business in several states where it had been forced to temporarily close. A March 28th memo obtained by Business Insider equipped managers with talking points for how to respond and communicate if visited by a local authority that asks why the company is open. In a separate leaked note sent early last week, executives wrote that the company is going to make every effort to continue to work their employees. The reopenings include stores in Ohio and Wisconsin, which both enacted strict shelter-in-place orders back on March 24th, where nearly all Hobby Lobby locations have been reopened after shuttering for only 1 week. During calls made to each location by Business Insider, employees confirmed that all 19 Hobby Lobby locations in Ohio were open as of Monday afternoon, as were 17 out of 20 stores in Wisconsin that were still listed as temporarily closed. Of the three stores closed in Wisconsin, at least one was forcibly shuttered by police officers after briefly opening on Monday. An employee at that store told Business Insider on Monday that the store was closed, but employees were there working on projects. A similar incident was reported in Jeffersonville, Indiana, where local authorities there forced a store to close after it was open for about 1 hour on Monday morning. Of all things, the run on toilet paper tends to be one of the stranger side stories of this pandemic. The hoarding of toilet paper continues, even as stores are limiting the number of packages consumers can buy. Meanwhile, Kimberly Clark, one of the nation's largest toilet paper companies, said that they're working around the clock to manufacture and then deliver paper products across the United States. While the company would not comment on sales or volume numbers during the pandemic, the latest Nielsen data found that Americans have spent more than $1.4 billion on toilet paper from February 28th to March 21st. And it doesn't seem to be slowing down. Last week alone, the U.S. toilet paper category netted more than $378 million and was up 123% from the same week last year. The company is encouraging Americans to give rolls of toilet paper to those who need it and post it on social media. In return, Cottonelle will donate $1 for each post, up to $100,000, to the United Way Worldwide COVID-19 Community Response and Recovery Fund. Additionally, Cottonelle has pledged to give $1 million in donations and 1 million rolls of toilet paper to the fund. Meanwhile, millions of Americans will struggle to pay their rent today. Efforts to flatten the curve of the coronavirus pandemic have delivered a hammer blow to the economy, and for the second straight week, the number of Americans filing for unemployment is likely to be staggering. Projections for new jobless claims for the last week of March run as high as 3.5 million, which would shatter the record set just last week. The New York Times estimates that 40% of renters in the hard-hit 5 boroughs of New York City will not be writing rent checks this week. And now there are numerous calls for rent strikes across the country. But the issue with that is that everything rolls downhill. If rents are not paid, will the gas and electric stay on? I mean, who pays for the apartment building's daily costs of being open? What about maintenance? Currently, landlords are hoping the federal government will step in with some sort of assistance, but that seems to be far off. Again, we are in uncharted waters. In a related story today, U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said only homeowners who have lost their jobs because of the coronavirus crisis will qualify for new government programs that let borrowers put off mortgage payments. The $2.2 trillion stimulus package signed into law last week lets homeowners and businesses hurt by the pandemic seek temporary relief from monthly mortgage payments. The legislation doesn't specify how consumers will be required to prove hardship, and mortgage servicers aren't allowed to demand documentation from homeowners. Borrowers will simply have to attest that they're struggling, according to the text of the legislation, which, by the way, is now in conflict with what Treasury Secretary Mnuchin said. Amazon workers at the distribution center in Romulus, Michigan, walked off their jobs today at noon, all that in response to the company's failure to protect the health of its employees in the face of the coronavirus. Approximately 20 employees adhered to social distancing guidelines while lining the sidewalk outside the fulfillment center during the walkout, with some holding posters. Recently, two positive cases of coronavirus have been found at that fulfillment center, and a third was confirmed early this morning. Workers said that they're pushing Amazon to protect workers' health and safety, which in turn affects the health and safety of customers and the community. Stocks ended sharply lower today as Wall Street kicked off the second quarter on a sour note in the realization that the economy shutdown could last longer than expected. The Dow closed down 973 points, or 4.4%, at 20,943. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ also slid by 4.4%, with the S&P falling to 2470 and the NASDAQ to 7360. The major averages hit their session lows in the final minutes of the trade, with the Dow briefly falling by more than 1,100 points. President Donald Trump said just last night the U.S. should prepare for a very painful 2 weeks. White House officials are projecting between 100,000 and 240,000 virus deaths in the United States. Today, Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York said he's closing all New York City playgrounds, adding that the state's model projects a high death rate through July. He also said cases in New York State now total more than 83,000. Data from ADP and Moody's Analytics showed U.S. companies cut 27,000 jobs through March 12th. However, as we know, actual losses for the month were far worse, with record jobless claims being made. The coronavirus pandemic has caused a nationwide shutdown of the economy, halting business production and leaving millions of American workers unemployed. The unprecedented social disruption has caused financial distress and volatility that we, frankly, have never before seen. And experts suggest this is only the beginning. Finally, there is this. With millions of people being thrown out of work as much of the U.S. economy shuts down, the companies hiring are seeing a boost in interest. Some employers are speeding up interviews and paperwork to put people to work on the very same day that they apply. But the hundreds of thousands of jobs that are opening up at grocery stores, pharmacies, and warehouses, as well as healthcare or technology, aren't necessarily conveniently located for the newly unemployed, and some require specialized skills. Most, by the way, are temporary for low wages and the kind of work that isn't amenable to social distancing. In short, the jobs that are open are not going to fill the void of those who have lost unemployment. When we come back, I've got an interview with one sector that is seeing expansion, and that's the farming sector. My guest is the export manager for the German-based company Granite Parts. His name is Tim Mueller. We'll talk about that and more in the interview, and that's coming up next.